This is Toby Sumter with your CrossPolitik Daily News Brief for Thursday, July 16th, 2020. Today you will hear how the Smithsonian is making people aware of the dominance of whiteness in things like two-parent households, hard work, and Christianity. Barry Weiss resigns from the New York Times in epic style, and the whole world isn't having enough babies. The Smithsonian thinks hard work and science are white supremacy. The National Museum of African American History and Culture of the Smithsonian Institute has a page on its website entitled Whiteness, which describes how, since white people are the majority skin color in the United States, their shared assumptions and culture is the dominant and normalized culture, thereby making other cultures and skin colors abnormal. They have a handy chart describing key elements, aspects, and assumptions of white culture in the United States, including things like rugged individualism, the nuclear family, husband as breadwinner and head of the household, wife as homemaker and subordinate to the husband, emphasis on scientific method, objective, rational, linear thinking, cause and effect relationships, quantitative emphasis, the primacy of Western, Greek, Roman, and Judeo-Christian traditions, Protestant work ethic, hard work as key to success, work before play, Christianity as the norm, respecting authority, planning for the future, delayed gratification, time viewed as a commodity, holidays based on Christian religions, and being polite. Jason Whitlock retweeted this chart saying, "This is troubling and disheartening, speaks to an agenda to program black people outside the American norm and into the communist norm. It's being done by the National Museum of African American History and Culture. That, I guarantee, relies on non-black money." Hey, that's a smart guy, Jason Whitlock. The Smithsonian is 62% federally funded, a combination of congressional appropriations and federal grants and contracts for a total of $1 billion. That's our tax money, people. Barry Weiss resigns from New York Times and blows up Twitter. Bruce Golding at the New York Post writes, "New York Times opinion writer Barry Weiss on Tuesday told the paper to take her job and shove it because Twitter had become the ultimate editor as vicious progressive staffers were engaged in a new McCarthyism." In a nearly 1,500-word resignation letter posted on her personal website, Weiss accused the Times of abandoning its journalistic principles to satisfy the narrowest of audiences rather than to allow a curious public to read about the world and then draw their own conclusions. Twitter is not on the masthead of the New York Times, but Twitter has become its ultimate editor, she wrote. "As the ethics and mores of that platform have become those of the paper itself has increasingly become a kind of performance space." She added, quote, "I was always taught that journalists were charged with writing the first rough draft of history. Now, history itself is one more ephemeral thing molded to fit the needs of a predetermined narrative." Weiss, one of the paper's few conservative voices, also said that her forays into wrong think have made me the subject of constant bullying by colleagues who disagree with my views. They have called me a Nazi and a racist. I have learned to brush off comments about how I'm writing about the Jews again," she wrote. If someone like @BarryWeiss feels like she can't do her best work at the New York Times, they should make some real changes over there, wrote businessman and former 2020 Democratic presidential candidate Andrew Yang. Wow. If you read only one thing this week, read this eloquent, profound, incisive, and true letter, wrote Republican Texas Senator Ted Cruz, linking to Weiss's letter. Added Donald Trump Jr., New York Times editor Barry Weiss resigns in stunning fashion, that's all caps stunning, and exposes the Times' rampant attacks on anyone who breaks from the far-left narrative. Others, however, showed no sympathy for Weiss, accusing her of playing the victim. However, prominent conservative commentator Andrew Sullivan announced Tuesday that he will move on from New York Magazine at week's end on the heels of Barry Weiss's abrupt resignation from the Times opinion section. "This will be my last week at New York Magazine," wrote Sullivan in the first of a series of tweets blasted out Tuesday afternoon. "I'm sad because the editors I worked with there are among the finest in the country, and I am immensely grateful to them for vastly improving my work," he continued in the thread. "I have no beef with my colleagues, many of whom I admire and are friends. though Sullivan described his reasons for leaving as, quote, self-evident. He did not elaborate further, promising an in-depth explanation in his final piece for the magazine. The underlying reasons for the split are pretty self-evident, and I'll be discussing the broader questions involved in my last column this Friday, he wrote. Sullivan's announcement came just hours after Weiss stepped down from her position as a writer and editor for The Times, fueling speculations of a possible team-up between Sullivan and Weiss. I'd say Barry's future is a lot more promising than the New York Times, wrote Sullivan, prior to announcing his own resignation. Don't forget to register for our first annual Fight Laugh Feast conference, which will be in Nashville, Tennessee, October 1st through the 3rd. Go to fightlaughfeast.com and register today. Jaw-dropping global crash in children being born. James Gallagher at BBC reports, falling fertility rates mean nearly every country could have shrinking populations by the end of the century. Nearly every country, and 23 nations, including Spain and Japan, are expected to see their populations halve by 2100. Did you hear that? 23 nations are expected to see their populations cut in half by the end of this century. Countries will also age dramatically, with as many people turning 80 as there are being born. What's going on? The fertility rate, the average number of children a woman gives birth to, is, well, falling. If the number falls below approximately 2.1, then the size of the population starts to fall. In 1950, women were having an average of 4.7 children in their lifetime. Why is 2.1 the fertility rate threshold? Well, even with the best healthcare, not all children survive to adulthood. Also, babies are ever so slightly more likely to be male. It means the replacement figure is 2.1 in developed countries, and nations with higher childhood mortality need a higher fertility rate than that. Researchers at the University of Washington's Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation showed the global fertility rate nearly halved to 2.4 in 2017, and their study, published in The Lancet, projects it will fall below 1.7 by 2100. As a result, the researchers expect the number of people on the planet to peak at 9.7 billion around 2064, before falling down to 8.8 billion by the end of the century. That's a pretty big thing. Most of the world is transitioning into natural population decline, researcher Professor Christopher Murray told the BBC. Why are fertility rates falling? It has nothing to do with sperm counts or the usual things that come to mind when discussing fertility. Instead, it is being driven by more women in education and work, as well as greater access to contraception, leading to women choosing to have fewer children. In many ways, falling fertility rates are a success story. This is the author of this article. I'm not saying it's a success story, but I think it's hilarious that in all the drama of this terrible thing happening, he says actually it's sort of a success story because women are killing their babies and not having babies and not getting married. It's a success. Right. Which countries will be most affected? Japan's population is projected to fall from a peak of 128 million in 2017 to less than 53 million by the end of the century. Italy is expected to see an equally dramatic population crash from 61 million to 28 million over the same time frame. They are two of 23 countries, which also includes Spain, Portugal, Thailand, and South Korea, expected to see their population more than cut in half. That is jaw-dropping, Professor Christopher Murray told the author of this article. China, currently the most populous nation in the world, is expected to peak at 1.4 billion in 4 years' time before nearly halving to 732 million by 2100. India will take its place as the most populous nation in the world. The UK is predicted to peak at 75 million in 2063 and fall to 71 million by the end of the century. However, this will be a truly global issue, with 183 out of 195 countries having a fertility rate below the replacement level. Why is this a problem? Well, who pays tax in a massively aged world? Who pays for healthcare for the elderly? Who looks after the elderly? Will people still be able to retire from their work? We need a soft landing, argues Professor Murray. The questions go on. When you don't have as many people producing, You have more consumers than you do have producers. In God's economy, he intends for the healthy and the able-bodied to be producing far more than they need and providing for those who can't anymore. Parents, grandparents, great-grandparents. Some countries have tried policies such as enhanced maternity and paternity leave, free childcare, financial incentives, and extra employment rights, but there's no clear answer, saith the article. Sweden has dragged its fertility rate up from 1.7 to 1.9, but other countries that have put significant effort into tackling the baby bust have struggled. Singapore still has a fertility rate of around 1.3. The researchers warn against undoing progress on women's education and access to contraception. Professor Stein Emil Vulset said, responding to population decline is likely to become an overriding policy concern in many nations, but we must not compromise efforts to enhance women's reproductive health or progress on women's rights. Right. The population of sub-Saharan Africa is expected to treble in size, or triple, as we say in Idaho, to more than 3 billion people by 2100. And the study says Nigeria will become the world's second biggest country with a population of 791 million. I don't know. Maybe when God said, be fruitful and multiply, he meant it for our good. This is Toby Sumter with CrossPolitik News. You can find this and all our shows at crosspolitik.com or on our app, which you should have downloaded ages ago. Just go to your favorite app store, search Fight Lab Feast, download it. You'll get the news brief. You'll get In the Bullpen. You'll get all the shows, the Theology Pugcast, crazy cool stuff with all of the peeps, all of the people on the network. Then come to our conference. Remember the conference I mentioned earlier in the show. It's in October. Go to FightLaughFeast.com, register, and if you're a member, you get $100 off. And if you're not a member, why not become a member? Because if you're not a member, it's like you're losing money, especially if you're coming to the conference. Have a great day.